Well, hello, and once again, we welcome you to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching. This is a ministry of the Wash and Word. The Wash and Word is a hand car washing business, and we're located in Churchill on Highway 11W. We are in the Powell Shopping Center, and there you can come and get your car hand washed. We clean inside, outside. We have different options. And my name is Matthew, along with my wife. We own and operate this business for the sole purpose of providing the funds that it takes to support our family, but also to support this ministry. This is a self-supported and self-sufficient ministry for the sole purpose of getting God's word out there in a verse-by-verse format, because we firmly and truly believe that type of preaching, the entire counsel of God's word, is the most effective way to properly equip the saints of God for not only what they may be dealing with today, but for what y'all be dealing with tomorrow. And so we equip ourselves today to be prepared for that which will be presented to us tomorrow or the next day or the next year. And so we look at these verse-by-verse Bible teachings as a way of building up our soul and building up our strength and our spiritual fortitude. And of course, again, because we don't know what tomorrow brings, but we do know that the Lord is in tomorrow, just as He is in today. And we lay our faith down in Him. So it is by His grace, by the knowledge of the Holy Spirit within us, that we open up His word and we ask the Spirit to move so that we would be enlightened to the spiritual truths that were initially put there in God's word for our sake, even today. And so we are now currently in the book of Jonah. We just finished the Gospel of John over the last few months. And in Jonah, we got into the first three verses, and basically Jonah was called to preach to the Ninevites, which comes on the heels of Israel's deafened ears to the prophets Hosea and Amos, who were also sent, but they were sent to Israel. And just as Israel shut their ears to what God had to say through those prophets, God has now opened up the door to the Gentile Ninevites that they may be a part or be included in the plan of the repentance and salvation that was meant for Israel. And this is a microcosm of really why Jesus came. In fact, you know, with the 3 days being in the whale and the 3 days Jesus being in the tomb, a lot of Jonah and a lot of the things in Jonah we're going to see really are a foreshadowing of Jesus. And just like with Nineveh representing all of Gentiles in the times past of Jesus, we have been included now into the original Abrahamic promise of salvation. And the reason for that is because of Israel's reluctance to adhere to God's word. And in the grand sense of that statement, Israel's unacceptance to adhere to the coming Messiah, of course, that being Jesus Christ. So because of Israel's stubborn hearts, we as non-Israelites or Gentiles have been included in the plan of salvation, grafted in, never to be proud of such a thing, for we are merely riding the coattails, as it were, of God's original plan. And so Jonah has been called to include Nineveh into God's repentance plan for this time period. And Jonah, of course, did not want to be God's spokesperson to a wicked and adulterous nation such as Nineveh. So he gets the call to speak. And the first thing he does, as we looked in verses 1 through 3 in our last teaching, he ran away. And verse 3 says, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee. Here's the part to listen to. He boarded that ship to flee from the Lord. And we ended in our last message talking about how any nation that defies or ignores or comes against the Lord is subject to and in danger of becoming a desolate nation. And we look at all the nations past who have either adhered to a false doctrine or a false religion. We look at most of the Muslim religion, and most of the Muslim nations reside in a very desolate area of the world with desert and, you know, low irrigation, things of that nature. A lot of third world nations that are poor have, you know, adhered to things like, you know, voodoo, or, you know, what you could pick. There's a plethora of options apart from God himself and apart from Jesus Christ. And any one of those options leads to desolations. And friends, we made the connection yesterday as we closed that America is no exception to the results of ignoring or turning from the Lord. And if we think that our prosperous, powerful nation is somehow above the reproach of everything and everyone who has done this in the past, well, then we are fooling ourselves, because the Lord God can certainly turn this nation from its prosperous foundations to a desolate, arid nation. And of course, the call goes out constantly to return to the Lord as a nation. But again, if God himself can reject his chosen nation of Israel, shall he not reject a Gentile nation? And so Jonah is called, and his first reaction is to turn and run from the calling of the Lord. Friends, this is a good self-reflection verse that we would look to ourselves and say, where is God calling me today? What is God calling you to do? What is God, where is God sending you? Is there something he wants you to change in your life? Is there someone he wants you to go and speak to? Is there something or someone or somewhere that God is calling you today, and you, like Jonah, either flee from the call or simply remain immovable and do nothing at all? We are all called to be evangelists. We are all called to do what Jonah was called to do, and that is to tell unbelievers of a place where they can find true salvation. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And Isaiah said, 'Here am I, send me.'" The willingness of Isaiah is a rarity in the world today. We need people to step up and be firm, not just believers, but firm soldiers for Christ. And we need to say to the Lord, "Here am I, send me." And if you're familiar with that scripture in Isaiah chapter 6, then you might be familiar with the verses that precede Isaiah's call of, "Here am I, send me." Listen to chapter 6, verses 1 through 7 in Isaiah. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried," Isaiah, "'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I am living among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. And with it he touched my mouth and said, 'See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away from you, and your sin atoned for.' And then the Lord said, 'Who shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" And so we have seen the Lord, you and I, as Christians. We have come to the knowledge of his mercy. We have been touched as Isaiah was touched. We have been made clean and pure. And though, like Isaiah, before the Lord we are undone, we are unworthy, but God still has chosen to send us to a nation of sinful unbelievers. And in the prophet Jonah, we see an unusual response. He is the only one to literally run away from the call of God in a physical way. And also unusual is God's pursuit of him. You know, God is compassionate and patient and slow to anger. We know these things by his nature. But one thing that I have found, he is less lenient with disobedience within his own people than he is with the disobedience of the world. It's as if he expects his people to be obedient. And the fact that we would not be obedient to his calling after all we have seen, I can't say that it surprises God because nothing does, but I can only imagine how unbelievable it must seem to him after all we have seen and taken in as believers that we would even remotely think about being disobedient, let alone act in disobedience. Listen, when God wants his will done and you and I turn from being used to do it, God will find someone else to do his will because his will always be done. So it is our blessing. It is to our own joy that we are allowed to partake in the will of God. And so God doesn't chase after us if we don't want to do his will, which makes Jonah an unusual prophet because God does go after Jonah. And so Jonah not only runs from God, but he flees to what was known at that time as the end of the world. He's going to the last place that has ever even been mapped out at that time. And also interesting is that Joppa is also the same place that God gave Peter his vision about preaching to the Gentiles some 800 years later. So Jonah finds a boat that just so happens to be heading in the exact opposite direction of God's calling. And friends, listen to this application. The devil will always provide a boat going in the opposite direction for anyone who wants to run away from the Lord. Did you know that? The devil will always provide a boat going in the opposite direction for anyone who wants to run away from the Lord. So if you want to run from God, the enemy will surely be there to give you a medium to run away. Not only that, but he will be he'll be there with pom-poms to cheer you on and get you to go in that opposite direction. And I want to end by saying that before you discount the magnitude of the disobedience to God, there are four words you must not miss in verse 3. And that is, after paying the fare. You know, did God really need to include that in the narrative? No, of course not. But that is for you and for me. Because listen, there is no disobedience without a cost. There is no denial without ramifications and no sin without consequences. There is always a fare to pay when we run from God and we live in disobedience. When you dance with the devil, you have a pay. There is a fare to pay. And the ultimate fare is, of course, your soul. And your sin has created a debit account that can only be paid for by your soul. And Satan is always waiting there with a boat that sails daily to hell. Because of Adam's sin, we must pay the fare of our sin with our very soul. And that was natural man's decision, one man's choice. And as a result, we are doomed to destruction. But God, through another man, Jesus, made a way. And there are no guarantees that your sin and wrongdoing and bad judgments are not going to have consequences. In fact, they probably will. And that is why God warns us of disobedience and sin, because there are real and sometimes serious consequences. But there is one guarantee I want to share with you in closing today, that you do not have to pay the fare of those actions. Jesus died so that you don't have to. He stamped paid in full on your ferry ticket. And he stands at the door and knocks, and anyone, and I mean anyone, can receive that ticket. God pursued Jonah, even though two times in verse 3, it says that he fled his presence. And I tell you, he has been pursuing you ever since as well. Have you seen it? Have you felt it? Those were not coincidences that you think. Those were God's graces. Can you feel his hand reaching out to you? And I pray that you just reach back and grab it. Friends, Jonah teaches us that God is compassionate and everlasting in his love. Well, join me again tomorrow, and we'll pick up in verse 4 of Jonah. You can go to the washandword.com website to hear these and all of our archive messages. And come by the Wash and Word located in the Palace Shopping Center in Churchill, and get your car washed and listen to these messages on 107.1 FM. Have a blessed day.